Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme tonight, I'll be speaking to director of the Dublin Flamenco Festival, Damien Power, and we'll be finding out about all that this wonderful annual event, now in its fifth year, has to offer. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that are making the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from Germany and Spain for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. Fine Gael MEP Brian Hayes says small businesses should be able to benefit from the EU's new plan to foster growth and investment. The Dublin MEP was referring to the EU's new Capital Markets Union plan, which aims to tackle investment shortages by increasing and diversifying the funding sources for Europe's businesses and long-term projects. The idea of the CMU is to increase the range of funding options available so that businesses aren't over-reliant on banks for finance. Brian Hayes says small businesses could benefit from innovative new financing methods such as crowdfunding.
Capital Markets Union isn't just about the big businesses on the shelves who want to become even bigger, want to become global players and getting equity into them. It's also about helping smaller businesses. And one of the biggest new innovative responses on finance is in the area of crowdfunding, crowd financial funding, where effectively you get whole piles of small investors giving relatively small amounts of money, which can then go into backing a product. That's what SMEs need to do. We need to make sure the market is right for SMEs. And if we do that, there's no reason why they can't get some of this money as well.
The EU needs to provide strong guidelines in trademark law to adequately tackle disputes between companies. That's the call being made by the Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly. The Ireland South MEP has come out in support of the Irish fast food chain Supermax in its trademark dispute with McDonald's. McDonald's has lodged objections to Supermax's trademark being registered throughout Europe. Supermax wants to expand its outlets in the UK, other parts of the EU and Australia. However, Mr. Kelly says that EU rules on trademarks must be clear so that smaller companies can avoid expensive court cases.
Well, particularly the trademarks have to be guaranteed. If a larger company challenges the trademark of another company, that's something I think that we need to have clearer guidelines on so that a company like Supermax won't have to go down the route probably of very, very expensive court cases, which are only a drop in the ocean to a big company like McDonald's to get their right to not only expand into Europe but also in Australia. So it is a very important point, and I think the outcome will be very significant, and hopefully it will work in favour of indigenous companies, because the single market is about fair play for everybody.
Secrecy and lack of transparency surrounding the TTIP negotiations are masking any known benefits we might get from an EU-US trade deal. That's the view of the Sinn Féin MEP Matt Carty. He was speaking after a petition against the
secrecy and lack of transparency surrounding the TTIP negotiations
was handed into the EU masking any known benefits this week.
More than 3 million EU citizens
signed a petition calling.
That's the view of the Sinn Féin MEP.
Matt Carty is calling.
He was speaking
for more transparency
against the transatlantic trade and investment partnership deal.
In terms of the positives, I'd be sceptical about those. But whatever they are, they need to be out on the table. Unfortunately, the negotiations are currently being conducted in secrecy.
That's the view of the Sinn Féin MEP Matt Carty.
The minutiae of
he was speaking
details, so
after
know,
a petition against the transatlantic trade
are going
and investment
to be
partnership
negotiated
deal,
up and what
or TTIP, was handed into
the last
EU Commission.
And unfortunately, the history
more than 3 million EU
citizens
has
been involved.
Has
been that when they're
the
when they are finalised and
Mr.
brought before Parliament
for
approval. Unfortunately, the pressure that's put on Parliament is so great that in many cases they simply accept it. 3 million people have gone to that effort, and that submission has now been presented to the Commission is another clear indication to the Commission that the track that they're on does not have the support of European citizens. And I also believe that there is now a very clear signal to the Irish government that their complicity in terms of endorsing the European Commission's actions does not have the democratic support of the people that they claim to represent.
The European Parliament recently called on the European Commission to introduce new laws that would force EU countries to provide equal pay. The European Parliament recently called on the European Commission to introduce new laws that would force EU countries to provide equal pay for equal work between men and women. In a vote recently, MEPs called for moves that would force all EU countries to employ the equal pay principle under an EU directive on equality between men and women in the labour market. According to Eurostat figures, the gender pay gap in the EU averages around 16.5%, while the pension gap is as high as 38.5%.
From the gender stereotyping, we have the typical employment areas where we expect women and young girls to go into. We need to move away from that. We need to encourage them to take up maths and sciences and to go into those type of careers. The figure shows it's actually worse in recent years, that girls actually aren't going into the whole ICT area. That's where we need more females, and companies need females in their workforce as well. So it's an open.
The refugee crisis will have consequences for future generations if it isn't tackled properly immediately. That's the view. The refugee crisis will have consequences for future generations if it isn't tackled properly. Fine Gael MEP, who was speaking after a recent joint address to the European Parliament by the German and French leaders. Both President Holland and Chancellor Merkel spoke to MEPs at length about the refugee crisis and the conflict in Syria.
The difficulty is we can't stop the migratory problem. We have to deal with it and deal with our internal issues as well. It is not a question of only having space to deal with one issue. We are challenged to deal with all of them. And I do believe that the migratory issue, the problem that we are facing on our borders, is a bigger problem than the economic one and will have consequences for our children if we don't handle it properly.
The Sinn Féin MEP, Leah Ni Riada, says the EU rules governing the handling of asylum applications needs to be completely overhauled. She was speaking in the European Parliament in Strasbourg recently.
The French and German leaders addressed MEPs.
Germany's Angela Merkel described the Dublin regulation as obsolete. It determines which EU country is responsible for processing the asylum requests. In general, the first EU country an asylum seeker enters is the one responsible for registering the asylum application. However, Ms. Nirida says these rules put too much burden on those countries at the front line of the refugee crisis.
In Greece, you had to stay there, and if your family went to Germany, well, tough luck. You were never going to, you know, have that family reunification. So from a humanitarian point of view, that's a disaster. So that really, really needs to be overhauled and gotten rid of.
Passieren, dass ich mit blutigen Händen vor deiner Tür. Cross Eyes.
That's a track called Die Mutigen by one of the most popular German bands out at the moment, and they're called Silbermond.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
From the 10th of October until the 25th of October, Dublin will once again become host to the 5th edition of the Dublin Flamenco Festival. With stunning dancers and musicians from the world of flamenco, the next few weeks are packed with events, happenings, workshops, sherry, and other wonderful Andalusian experiences right over a range of venues right here in the heart of Dublin. On the line now to tell us a little bit more about all this is director with the Dublin Flamenco Festival, Damien Power. Thanks a million, Damien, for taking the time out to talk to us here. I threw the sherry bit in there. I'm not really sure. I know you had it last year, Damien, but I don't know if that's part of the thing this year again.
No, actually, we're trying to shake things up a little bit. We did the sherry last year
I didn't get to clarify it, which is how I just thought I'd take potluck on that one and threw it in there. But that's anyway, that's gone out of it, is it?
For this year, anyway, we'll most likely bring it back again next year. I mean, we did actually have, we had a media launch, you know, just for members of the press and that on Friday.
Right.
In Co, which is a fantastic little restaurant in town, and they've got these amazing bartenders, and they served us up some sherry, but they also served us up some special sherry cocktails called a Festival Superstar or something like that, a cocktail that they created for the occasion. So.
Damien, fair play. Anyway, what's been the hardest part of organising this year's festival? I know you probably started again 2 years ago. You're planning 2 years ahead nearly at this stage. As soon as this one finishes, you're off on the next one. So this year, what was the hardest part? Now, this is your fifth year, Damien, and we've been speaking to you nearly every year, so I know it must be getting a bit easier, is it?
You would think so. But no, every year it brings its own challenges. And I mean, the very first year we were just incredibly ambitious, and I think we just overestimated how much energy we had, and we were drained by the end of it.
Okay.
So then each year we tried to just scale back a little bit and get things a bit more under control. This year we've made a change in how we do things. The biggest change, I guess, is to focus on one big production.
Right.
Whereas previously we had focused on a few smaller productions and had them spaced across different dates. And this year we're putting all our eggs in one basket. So I'm going with one big production with a very highly respected multi-award-winning dancer who's bringing a very traditional show to Dublin.
Okay.
Which will be the closing event of the festival.
Right, okay. And that's on the 25th, isn't it?
That's on the 24th in the Helix. It's a dancer called Mercedes
Ruiz.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's on the Helix. Oh, right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
A dancer called Mercedes Ruiz, and she's got a guitarist, Santiago Lara, with him, a singer, David Lagos. And David Lagos, actually, this is his second time to Dublin. He was here earlier in the year. He sang for Israel Galban during the Dublin Dance Festival.
Okay.
And he performed three nights in the Abbey Theatre. So people who've been to that show know what a wonderful singer David is, and should certainly come out and see him again in a very different context. Israel's show would have been a very contemporary, modern take, and this will be a more traditional, honouring the heritage, I guess, of flamenco.
Right, okay. And was that a difficult thing for you to... I mean, obviously the logistics of getting the artists over and then coordinating it with the Helix and all that, was that something that was particularly difficult this year? Or was it one of the smaller little venues that proved even more difficult? What way did that work?
It's hard. You know, we actually had a very good relationship with the Helix. The first festival was held in the Helix, and we did five shows in the space of, I think, 2 weekends. So they're very familiar with us there, and they all looked at us as if we were crazy trying to do so much in such a short space of time. So I think they were happy to see us come back, but also to come back with a more restrained program this year. I'm really looking forward to this show. I've seen Mercedes perform in Jerez in Spain many years ago, and she's wonderful. And this year, I think it was this year or last year, she won the most prestigious dance award in flamenco.
Fantastic.
From the people in Jerez, so that's kind of a great boon for us to have such a prestigious dancer here representing the festival.
Well, one of the things I really enjoyed, Damien, was actually the up close and personal aspect of some of the events that we had them. I think it was last year. I can't remember. It was last year or the year before? But you had them on in the little theatre there, Smock Alley. I think it was, wasn't it? Smock Alley. Yeah.
Smock Alley is a beautiful theatre, and we've it was a very difficult decision to decide whether we should stick with Smock Alley or move back to the Helix, because we did the second, third, and fourth editions were all in Smock Alley in the various venues. Sometimes they were upstairs in the banquet hall,
right?
We're in the boys' school, and sometimes we're in the main space. And even the main space, it's a very old style theatre, very intimate. I think its capacity is 150.
Yeah, it's small.
You know, and that's the only thing working against us with Smock Alley is that the theatre is so small. And for something like the show that we want to bring, you know, for the amount of people that we hope will come to see the show, we'd either have to run it multiple nights find a bigger space. So it was a difficult decision, but I certainly don't think we're finished with Smock Alley. I think we'll have other things to do there in the coming year. So, but for this particular show, and in this edition of the festival, we really decided that we needed the bigger space.
Right, indeed. Well, that seems to be coming true, that it's bigger and better. And, I mean, at this stage now, how popular is the world of flamenco become here in Dublin? I mean, I've seen a lot of influx of Latin American students and people around the place. Obviously, the Brazilian thing, but that doesn't really cross into it. But has it become more and more popular with Dubliners? Or is it more and more popular with some of the denizens of the city?
I think certainly we're seeing more and more awareness of it. You know, especially, you know, even when you look at a long-established festival like the Dublin Dance Festival, who this year one of their main programs was a flamenco show, and there was a huge positive reaction to that show from the audience. So I think that shows that Irish people are starting to understand what flamenco is and starting to realize that it's more than... I mean, I've been saying this to you every year. You know, we battle it constantly against the cliche of a dancer with a flower in her hair, guitarist playing along, and it's all ole, ole, ole. And, you know, it's a very superficial view of what is actually a very profound and moving art form, and a hugely expressive art form as well. And that's the message we've been trying to bring. And I think the fact that Dublin Dance Festival programmed a very high-profile flamenco show as part of their program show that they are starting to understand that.
Right, brilliant.
And I think that the people of Dublin as a whole are starting to understand that as well.
And the event, you just mentioned it there, the event you're looking forward to most, the dancer again you mentioned, Damien, what was her name again?
Mercedes Ruiz.
Is she from Spain or is she from Andalusia?
She's from Jerez de la Frontera, which is the heartbeat, I guess, of flamenco. So it's the home of Sherry and it's the home of flamenco, right in the middle of Andalusia. So that's where she's from, and she's grown up there, and she's learned her trade there, I guess. She's danced all over the world, and this particular show is, I guess, for her, it's a personal expression of everything that she's learned and experienced in flamenco over the years. And she's done some amazing shows, huge stage productions. But through all of this, she's been, I guess, amassing a sense of what flamenco really means to her. And this show is the essence of flamenco for her. So she's distilled it down to just herself, one singer, and one guitarist to bring a really pure, essential core of flamenco, and then show what it means
what
to her
about,
and where it comes from, what its origins are, and where it's going.
Well, we were at one stage, I think it was one of the interviews over the years when they, Damien, we were trying to get to the heart of this this sort of ethereal idea of Duende. And between myself and yourself, we were debating what this whole thing means. Have you come across anything in over since I spoke to you last to maybe give people a better idea of this whole idea of Duende? Have you come across any web resources or books or anything?
I heard an interesting story only recently about I've forgotten his name now. Oh no, the singer was Ronnie Drew, of course.
All right, yeah.
So I heard a story about Ronnie Drew, who a friend of mine was a close personal friend of Ronnie's, and told me, which is something I didn't know, that Ronnie had spent
in Spain,
it's 4 years in Spain studying flamenco guitar, Spanish.
Yeah.
And I only noticed afterwards watching videos when he plays guitar, he plays a Spanish guitar.
That's right, yeah.
So I met someone who had been speaking to, only recently I met someone who had been speaking to Ronnie about his time in Spain. And, you know, had said to him, so you spent a long time studying flamenco guitar and you play a little now. And Ronnie said, yeah, and I do, I play a little. And he was asked, so have you found Duende? And Ronnie said, I'll tell you now. When I'm playing flamenco guitar, there isn't a Duende to be found anywhere. But if I'm on stage with the Dubliners singing, there's Duende.
Right, that's
and
it.
And that's the essence. It's exactly what he was exactly right. You know, Duende is when an artist performs something that is theirs and they perform it with their own expression, their own feeling, in a way that transcends them just being on stage singing. They end up giving so much more of themselves and the audience feel that. And it doesn't have to be in flamenco. I mean, Ronnie Drew had Duende when he sang
Indeed.
With the Dubliners, as
Indeed.
Did Luke Kelly, you know. And as an Irish person, especially an Irish person who loves that music, when you listen to that and you hear that and you feel it, when you get those goosebumps,
that's the Duende communicating
with you.
I always find there's a huge correlation between the old flamenco. A lot of people think of flamenco as dance, but there is a flamenco singing as well. It's very similar to Shanos and that sort of style of dance, singing and things like that. And there's a great choreo. Of course, it's all, as you say, it's all emotional. Where can people find out more, Damien, this year, the website? By the way, have you done the website again this year yourself?
Yes, you must be
a genius on Joomla now at this stage, are you?
So,
I'm still waiting to make arrangements to get down and get a couple of lessons off you for Joomla.
We have to do something about that. Absolutely.
Every year we say the same thing.
We do indeed.
So the website, Damien?
All the information about this year's festival is on dublinflamencofestival.com.
Give it to us again.
dublinflamencofestival.com.
Brilliant,
an
fantastic.
Easy one to remember.
Indeed. And we'll be putting up some of the links on our own social platforms as well. So plenty of information there. Damien, listen, always a pleasure to talk to you. And the best of luck with everything. And thanks a million, Damien, to yourself and everybody else involved for bringing this wonderful event to Dublin. And thanks a million, Damien.
Thanks for the call, John.
Limpiaba el agua del río como la estrella de la mañana. Limpiaba el cariño mío, el manantial de tu fuente clara. Como el agua, ay, como el agua, como el agua, como el agua clara. Besé mi brazo al hombro, su brillo de luz de luna iluminaban tus ojos. De ti deseo yo quitar el calor, pa' ti mi cuerpo si lo quieres tú, fuego.
possibly one of the most famous pairings in flamenco music. That was singer Camarón de la Isla and guitarist Paco de Lucía from an album that was reissued this year, Antología de Camarón, and that was a track called Como el Agua. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to director of the Dublin Flamenco Festival, Damien Power, for joining us this week. Don't forget to check out our support website, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we discussed as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Damien Power, the director of the Dublin Flamenco Festival, which is taking place all this week. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to director of the Dublin Flamenco Festival, Damien Power, for joining us this week. Don't forget to check out our support website, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we discussed as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.